Lipcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Welcome to Lipcast Slovakia. My name is Julia Sherwood, and my guest in today's 20th episode of the podcast is Katarzyna Dudzic-Grabińska, a Polish translator from Czech and Slovak. Katarzyna is based in Wrocław and is also a theatre director. From 2009 to 2014, she lived in Bratislava, where her husband Tomasz Grabiński served as deputy director of the Polish Institute, while Katarzyna worked with the Visegrad Fund and the Slovak Foreign Policy Association. Katarzyna has translated works by Czech writers Jaroslav Rudiš and Markéta Pilátová and has recently turned to Slovak authors as well. Her translation of Alfred Wetzler's Čo Dante nevidel, or Escape from Auschwitz, is published today, and Milo Janáči's Milo nemilo, or Nice Not So Nice, is due out this spring. She has directed plays for Teatr Polski w Podziemiu, the underground Polish theatre, and Wrocławski Teatr Współczesny, the Wrocław Contemporary Theatre, and is currently working with the Polish Radio Theatre. Hello, Kasia. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here.
So, you're the first translator and theatre maker that I've had on the podcast. So let me just start by asking you how this awful pandemic has affected you, because theatre is one of the sectors that has been hit really most awfully.
Yes, it is, and it is hit very strongly in Poland. I'm in a very particular situation, because I'm freshly out of theater school, so I'm a beginner director, and it is very hard right now to talk with CEOs of with theaters and ask them to please give me a job. I'm a beginning director. They don't want to talk to us because they have no idea what the future will bring to them, and they are very afraid. So I'm very happy to found cooperation within Polish radio in doing audio plays, because preparing the audio play is much more safe than working in the theater. You do not have an audience, their listeners later. So it's much more like working for TV, and it's the only way for me right now to work in the theater. So crazy times, and in times like this. A year ago, I was quite happy that I'm also a translator, because translating books is a safe endeavor in this time. Pandemic is good for the translators, not very good for the theater.
Yes, tell me about that. I mean, for me, nothing much has changed, because I've been working from home for over 10 years now, except that I do miss going to literary events. But then when I look at my daughter, who is a theatre maker, and she has basically had to rethink her entire future. So it's very, very difficult. So let's talk about some happier times. So you lived in Bratislava for several years, and is there something that you particularly enjoyed about being there, and something that you miss now that you're back in Poland?
Most of all, I miss people. I miss our friends that we've met in Bratislava, in Slovakia. And Tomasz Grabiński, my husband, he's a very, very outgoing person. So I think that in 1 month of us being in Bratislava, he already knew everyone. Because Bratislava is a small city. It's very common there that when you go to buy milk in the shop, you meet this is a painter, this is a writer. You meet everyone on the streets of Bratislava. So there were so many people. I was completely overwhelmed by lots of amazing people, very talented, very intelligent people. And I was very young. I was like 23 when we moved there. I was finishing my Bohemistic studies at the University of Wrocław and at the Masaryk University in Brno. And the world of possibilities seemed endless. And it took me a few years to find my own voice and to find myself in Bratislava. But the most important thing for me was people. The people, friends that we've met there, that we have this great opportunities to meet and to visit in Bratislava, but not only in Bratislava, also in Košice, in Nitra, in Banská Bystrica, in Martin, in all of those beautiful, amazing Slovak cities that we managed to visit when the borders are open, of course.
Yes. And so you studied Bohemistics, so that's Czech, but did you also study Slovak, or did you pick that up while you lived there?
I picked it up when I lived there, but I was ashamed to speak Czech in Slovakia because it seemed so absurd to me to be a Polish girl speaking Czech in Slovakia, or even worse, to speak English. But I was also afraid to not speak properly Slovak. So it was nerve-wracking for me because also I was reading about for Slovaks, Czechs are this colonizing force, their culture is stronger, so it may be felt by some Slovak that it's unkind or not cultural enough to speak to them in Czech. I was very nervous in that time, but after a year, I started to speak Slovak, and people even told me that I have nice Slovak accent.
I'm sure you do. I could tell even from the way you pronounce some of those place names. So, and so you talk about how in Bratislava everybody knows everybody else, and
Yes,
that's
that's
also my
also my
experience.
experience.
And so you must have got to know lots of people in the cultural scene. So could you mention some Slovak writers, playwrights, or theatre productions that struck you as particularly interesting during a stay there?
The most important place and group of people for me, and I think for Tomasz as well, was Divadlo Skrat. Because they had this club, it was called A4, A4. It was when we came to Bratislava in 2009, they were at the exactly on the other side of the street, across of the Polish Institute. And we also had a flat very close to the Polish Institute, so it was like the first natural place for us to go in the evening. And we've met all the actors of the Skrat Theater, which is alternative theater, authors theater, not comprised of professional actors, but of people who in 90s created this amazing cultural phenomenon called Stoka, where the director Blaho Uhlar was creating with them absolutely like cults with cult following shows. And then they split with Blaho Uhlar. He stayed, Divadlo Stoka still exists, but they created Skrat. And there's Lubo Burger, who is a composer and musician, but also writes and directs, Inge Hrubaniczowa, who is an amazing scientist. She deals with language studies, Slovak language studies at the Slovak Academy of Science, Dušan Vícen, who is writer and director. Also working in the professional field, getting Alfred Radok prizes for his texts, Vladus Boron, many more amazing people, very smart, very cool and amazing people who decided like they need theater in their life, even though their everyday job may be something else. And we came there with Tomasz just as spectators, and Tomasz has this ability to friend anyone and everyone, and very, very soon after the second or third time our visiting there, we were fast friends with everyone. And a few years later, we had our wedding party at the A4 Theater. And still, I think about them. I think about the theater that they create, and as the people who they are, as the most rewarding. Even though it's not completely mainstream in Slovak culture.
Wonderful. So you had a theater wedding.
Yes, yes.
So I know quite a few translators who are also writers, but the combination of theater director and translator is much less common. Could you say something about what you see as the benefits of combining these two professions?
It's not very common. I also do not know anyone who's... total identity is based on these two activities, these two things. For me, a very important thing in being a translator, I think for every translator, it's absolutely obvious that the translator is supposed to be a clear glass for the author and for the text. And is supposed to tell the story, trying to be the most faithful, but not only in being faithful in details, but also in feelings, and that a piece is supposed to invoke in the reader. And this is the way of thinking that made me as a translator. And when I started doing theater, if I want it or not, I am still a translator. And it's not only about the texts that I'm working with, that I'm, first of all, I'm not trying to put my vision on the author's text, but I'm trying to pull from the author's text vision. But also in cooperation with theater composers, with actors, I always feel that I should be on the second place, and I should be somewhere like a cellophane man from the song from the Chicago musical. I should be not seen, not heard. Of course, not on the rehearsals, because all those amazing artists need me to put the show together. But it is not my role to be the most original person in the room. It is my work to take care of everyone and to make sure that everyone has their voice heard. And this is, I think, not very common and not very popular way to work in the theater. And it is something that is basically part of my personality because of translating, because of being in this monk-like state, in this monastery of being in home, not meeting a lot of people, but being concentrated on telling the story, which is not completely my own, but became my own in the process of translation.
Today, the 27th of January, as we go on air, happens to be the day when your Polish translation of a Slovak book is coming out. As I mentioned earlier, the book is Co Dante Nie Widział, Ucieczka z Auschwitz in Polish, or Escape from Auschwitz. It is a slightly fictionalized memoir by the Slovak Jewish journalist Alfred Wetzler, who escaped from the notorious Nazi death camp together with another man, Rudolf Verba, a Czech Jew. Wetzler, who died in 1988 in Bratislava, has remained in the shadow of his companion Rudolf Verba, who emigrated to Canada in 1968 and gave many interviews. For instance, he appeared in Claude Lanzmann's monumental documentary film Shoah. So Wetzler's role is not as widely known as it deserves, although that is likely to change because of a new feature film, Sprawa, Escape from Auschwitz, directed by Peter Bebiak, which will open in Slovakia tomorrow and is going to be the country's official entry for the Best Foreign Language Oscar this year. I wonder if Wetzler's and the Wrba's story is known in Poland at all, and can you tell us how and why you decided to translate Wetzler's book?
Well, I think the story is not very well known. The reports are known in the historical community, of course. The reports were translated some time ago and published, but we have similar stories with reports from Auschwitz, from Rotmistrz Witold Pilecki and Jan Karski. And it's the problem in Polish history is the same like with Anne Frank. Nobody knows in Poland who Anne Frank is. We know about Anne Frank from American movies because in comparison to Polish Holocaust stories, Anne Frank's story is very vanilla, I would say. So we are basically the story about Wetzler and Wrba never was told in Poland fully, and of course the publishing house who asked firstly Tomasz, and then we decided to do the book together because Tomasz was afraid that he will not be able to, because it's quite a big book. That he won't be able to finish it at time, so he asked me to help him with it. They wanted to also to have the book published in Poland together with promotion of the film. Very well aware, they are very well aware in the publishing house that every such event as the new movie is very good for the PR, for the marketing of the book. On the other hand, I think that this is the kind of story and kind of literature which is absolutely very beautifully written. And not only truthful, but also very, very human. And it's not something that we are used to. And we are afraid a bit that lastly in Polish book publishing, there are a lot of Auschwitz book. It's even called Pop Auschwitz. You know, like this commercialization of the Holocaust stories of Auschwitz mainly. So we are a bit afraid that the book will vanish in this pop Auschwitz wave. But we hope, on the other hand, that people will see the book reviewers will see the truth in it and the power of the real story about most of all friendship and strength of human will.
Well, I very much hope that it's not going to be seen as pop Auschwitz.
No, because, you know, there's the tattooist from Auschwitz, I don't know, girl from Auschwitz, everything is from Auschwitz right now. It's like this crazy, absolutely crazy time where everything can be sold. I don't know. I hope it will not. It will. We will do our best to talk about it, not in a... In a respectful way, because I think this story should be, maybe it's easier for us to understand it, this story in comparison with story of Pilecki or Karski, because these are the well-known stories of courier and escapee from Auschwitz who told the world, but that there were others who did this as well and did this with great... strength and amazing willpower. It's always beautiful and important to say.
Yes, I think that sounds like a very good strategy to put it in that context of Jan Karski and Witold Pilecki's stories. So to move on to the present day, the other Slovak book that you've translated and that will be published in Poland this spring is Milo Nie Milo by Milo Janáč, which could be translated into English as Nice, Not So Nice. And it really couldn't be more different from Wetzler's memoir. So the Polish blurb sums it up as a treatise on a present-day alcoholic, as entertaining as it is painful. So can you tell me why you picked this book, and did you have fun translating it?
Lots and lots of fun. I've met Milo Janáč during the month of authors reading. It's this big festival organized in Brno, Ostrava, Košice, Wrocław, and Lviv, where the writers from Central Europe, also Slovak writers, travel through all these cities and they have authors readings. And Milo Janáč was guest of this festival, I think in 2019, and he visited Wrocław. I was moderating evening with him. I was interviewing him and I translated the first few chapters of Milo Nemilo. And it was great fun. It was great fun to talk to him, to meet him. And of course, it was my absolute duty to take him to my favorite bars in Wrocław and to show him some good pub crawling
Of
in
course.
Wrocław. So we became friends. And after a few months, Ludmila Koza, the chief editor from Amaltea Publishing House, said that she's very interested in publishing this book. And then Tomasz, who wanted to go to Troica, to Banská Štiavnica for residency, but didn't have any contract with any Slovak book to translate. So he asked me, could he please translate this book with me so he could go to the residency? I said, yeah, okay. No problem. So in that way, we translated two books together this year. One he gave me half of his, and once I gave him half of mine. So I did the first half, and he did the second half. And we had this amazing luck to visit Galnica, the city of Milo Janáč, because the book is like partially autobiographical, not really, but some things are autobiographical in this book. And it's about his crazy life because he's very intelligent, well-read, educated man who lives in Galnica, which is like 5,000 people in the eastern Slovakia, a city that was called by our other friend, whom I will not name. It was called that Galnica is a city of moral, intellectual, and cultural downfall. So in this kind of place, Milo Janáč, who used to be a bartender there, he finished like university in Prešov. He used to be unemployed. He drank a lot. He was a bartender, and now he is the chief of culture in the city council of Galnica. And he writes for Rozum. It's a very complicated man, very fascinating man, very fascinating city, and very fascinating stories. And again, like with Rudish, it seems on the first glance, it's very simple, like Moskva Pietushki, funny stories about drinking in the Eastern Slovakia. But even Martin Šimečka wrote about this book that it's very intriguing when you read it and when you translate it and you see that, oh, okay, so this is from Bible, this is from Shakespeare, this is basically the whole last page of the book are only citations of Slovak poetry from 19th century. And I wanted to kill Milo because I didn't knew it was there. And to translate it, of course, I had to find the Polish translations of the and he just forgot that he put it there, that basically every last sentence it's a citation of some Slovak poets like Franja Kral and so on. So it's amazing in the sense that what you may think about living in a small town, what you may think about this country, this people, what you may think about alcoholics or being unemployed, and that it's for real the bohème, the la bohème of 21st century. I would say that.
The quintessential bohemian of Gernica.
Yeah. Of city of moral, intellectual, and cultural downfall, which I don't agree with it because I was there. It's lovely place, lovely people, and great fun, great time, great life. But it's it was the. I'm citing other friends from Slovakia that other Slovaks see Galnica like this.
Right. So you translated this jointly with your husband Tomáš, and so you said that you split it half and half. So can you talk a little bit more about the process of your collaborative translation?
Well, the most important thing to say as we've met. As we became a couple with Tomáš, he was already a translator, he's older than me, and basically he taught me a lot. He taught me almost everything about translation, so at the beginning our cooperation was more about him scolding me about this is wrong, you cannot do it like this, and so forth and so on. Then when I was experienced enough, I started to say the opposite, like, no, this is better. And it was very complicated for some time. And then we decided that if we translate something together, we have to know who is the boss. If we say who is like the most important person in this, even if we sign it jointly. So for example, in Milo ne Milo, I have the last word, and in Wetzler, he has the last word. And in this case, like, we are like, okay, we can argue, we can talk, we have some arguments why we should do it like this or like this, but the last word is for the main chief of the project. And after these decisions were made, our cooperation as translators is very good. Of course, he's always my first reader and I am his. So this is very good, especially later when we are talking with editors and editors want to change something, but we've already talked about it. It's handy, it's helpful, and we understand each other struggles in translating books, and we always have someone to talk about it. So it was a long journey, but a very happy one at the end.
Great, great. So it hasn't really affected your relationship. That's important.
You know, it had, but now we are fine.
Well, I also translate with my husband, and sometimes we have discussions. So, yes, but I think it's possible to still live in harmony and respect one another.
Of course, of course.
Just a final question before we end, because we've been talking a lot. What are you planning to translate next, both you and your husband, separately or jointly?
Right now we don't have any joint projects, but it's not impossible that something will happen. I would love to translate Katarina Kucbelova's Czepiec, this beautiful book, partially reportage, partially prose, partially also autobiographical, about her journey into Eastern Slovakia, once again, to get herself involved into folkloric preparation of czepiec, of kind of a cup for married women. And I fell in love with this book, especially with her. It's of course about finding your own identity and becoming writing a history, oral history, not with words, not with recording in on the recorder, but with your handwork, with your stitches, which is fascinating to me. And also, she said that in Slovak history, every government used folklore to manipulate people. And for her, for an educated woman, poet and cultural manager from Bratislava, it is obvious that folklore for her is something not interesting, but maybe it is part of her and she should make an effort to find what is it about not just this manipulation of the government. So this is fascinating for me. I've translated a bit, but I'm looking for a publisher. This is the worst part of this job. I hope I will find some nice publisher for this book. And Tomasz is working on Michał Chworecki's book Troll with a scholarship from Fond Podporu Umenia. So Slovak literature is never leaving our home, even for a few seconds.
That's wonderful. So thank you very much. I really, really hope you find a publisher for Katka Kuzgorova's Czepiec. I love that book as well. And it was really great fun talking to you. I wish we could go on talking, and I hope we get a chance to meet one day in person and continue this conversation. So thank you very much again.
Thanks a lot. It was great fun for me as well.